Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to My Security Media's Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. And we are recording from B-Sides Perth. And I'm joined by Sarah Young and Ricky Burke. Sarah, Ricky, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, we are going to... The reason you two are talking to us together is you have a meetup group in Melbourne, yeah? All SEC meetups?
Yep. Three of us co-organisers.
Okay.
Monthly meetup in Melbourne.
Yep.
One of about 1,700 meetups in
yeah,
Melbourne.
Yeah, there's plenty of meetups.
Yeah.
What was the main driver for starting All SEC?
Diversity, really.
Okay,
diversity, yep. And security. So there's some quite specialised security events that we enjoy.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for not just newcomers to the industry, but I think experienced people to learn about other areas of the industry and cross-skill, cross-knowledge and share, really.
Yeah. Look, as you said, there's 1,700 meetups. So, you know, I think that just says that there's a thirst in this space, not just security, but technology generally. But you also do recruitment, and you've written a few articles for us in the Australian Cybersecurity Magazine. So thank you for that. And we will... find some of those articles and put the links in this particular podcast so
Sounds
people
good.
Can have a read. But you're in the recruitment space, so if anyone was going to make a comment on cyber skills shortage
okay.
or the general, how hard is it to find cyber skills and what's, I suppose, flipping it around, where is the demand from industry and enterprise for skills, and maybe what type of skills are in most demand that you see?
There's definite demands. There is.
Yeah.
I find the skills shortage phrase difficult
yeah.
because it depends on where you are in the industry and what level of experience you have. So
yeah.
to be honest, and this is the conversation I have with many people trying to break into the industry, and the tough conversation I have is the skill shortage is not at their end.
Yeah.
The problem is most organisations I find want to hire experienced people that can come in and do the job.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of roles out there. So whether it's risk, architecture, pen testing, security engineers, SEC DevOps or Dev.
Yeah,
Dev,
we're
going
to move
SecOps.
Over to Sarah shortly. I've been practicing.
But yeah, for me, I'm flat out busy, and it's a really good environment.
Yeah.
Like I was here today to help the students or new entrants to the industry,
yes.
because to be honest, I feel like they need some guidance.
Well, I noticed that about the workshop in the program of, it was really about how to create your own profile, and I suppose be consistent in that profile, but just basic communication skills. Do you find that lacks in the industry still?
That's not just a security thing, though. That's
yeah.
that's IT. Having got a IT recruitment background outside of security from years gone by, it's been an issue where I've been across. So it's definitely not a security thing, I think.
So is it the more technical they are, the less soft skills they tend to have?
It can be looked at.
It's a bit stereotypical,
one,
I know.
It's
but...
stereotypical, but the thing is there's more and more demand, I think, and I'm sure Sarah can talk about this as well, but I think there's more and more interaction of business and IT or security.
Yeah.
There's the departments within IT and other business areas, they're all interconnecting now.
I suppose that's where the business now is asking these IT people what... they're doing,
yeah.
and then how can we make more money out of you, or also reduce our risk, right?
I find most companies don't. Maybe years gone by, they wanted the hardcore technical people. They wanted
yeah.
the best, but now they want rounded consultants.
Yeah,
you know, have good technical expertise, but those comm skills they're essential.
Well, every business is a tech business these days, and I think that's the major driver, certainly over the last decade. Now, Sarah Young, I've been practicing here, is SecDev, SecOpSec. Does that right? SecDev, SecOpSec.
Yep.
Let's stop throwing around the buzzwords.
Yes.
Just as in SecDev, SecOpSec.
Yes.
How you just gave your presentation. How did you approach it, and what's your main message out of that?
So I think there are a lot of buzzwords in the IT industry, in any
yeah.
industry, to be
True.
Fair, but SecDevOps and DevSecOps and well, we won't go into blockchain and AI, but I think they're another favourite few ones going around at the moment.
Though, so.
Oh, I'm not talking about, well, I didn't talk about AI. There's only so many buzzwords I can whinge about on one talk. So, yeah. Oh, and crypto. Yeah, and crypto. We could have thrown that one in too. Pretty much the point of my talk wasn't to sort of have any new, drastically new insight into this, but to make the point that there's a lot of inconsistency in how we use these terms. Like some people will say DevSecOps, some people will say SecDevOps. There's like rugged DevOps, which I'd literally never heard of until, I'd never heard of that one until I started doing some more research for my talk. And if you go online, you can find articles that say SecDevOps means one thing. You can find more articles that say DevSecOps also mean the same thing, like securing DevOps. And it's just, you can find things, materials online that basically support either argument about how we use these. And also the other two I touched on was secure pipeline and secure toolchain. Yes. I think they're a little bit more consistent, but the point of my talk was to say, hey guys, like this is how I think we should define them, which is SecDevOps is the process of securing DevOps. DevSecOps is developing in security operations, so developing security tools. Yes. Now, that's my one-woman opinion. I'm not saying I'm an expert at all or the authority, but the point of my talk was more also to just get people thinking about this, because as within any kind of industry thing, if you're using terms inconsistently, it leads to confusion and that can cause problems. It's the same with anything.
But it gives meaning to DevSecOps or SecDevOps that it's important where that sec sits.
I think it is. Again, and I, like I said, this talk of mine was purely an opinion piece, so I'm quite willing, and as I said throughout the talk, for people to come and tweet me or talk to me afterwards about disagreeing. But I do think there is a difference there. They're two completely different activities.
And
maybe it's because I did an arts degree and I'm more picky on the words than other people. I don't know. But I think, SecDevOps is securing development operations. I mean, if you spread out, you actually pull out the full words, that's what it says. And DevSecOps, I'm going to get this wrong at some point during this talk, and then you're going to laugh at me, is developing or developing security operations. So they are two different activities. But again, you could say I'm being pedantic and stuff, but it was something I thought was a...
I think you're onto it.
Yeah.
Now, you are a security architect.
I am.
With an arts degree. How do you... get into cybersecurity. Well, let me rephrase that, because we've just been having discussions with Jody Saganto as well. How did you get into information security?
Mainly, when I was 17 and I was picking my degree, I knew better than everyone who told me to do
computer science. Yeah, I was one of those.
Yeah, you know, my parents, my teachers, pretty much everybody told me I should do some kind of computer-related degree because I was a geek. Like, I was always fiddling around on computers. I was very good at it. But then I turned around and decided to do a history degree because I knew better.
Yeah.
Largely, I think my thinking was, when I was 17, was that I didn't want to be tied down to anything in particular, which was a mistake later on. But then I realized when I finished my degree that I really didn't want to do anything with it in particular. And but because I hadn't done IT, I kind of had to go right back to the beginning. Like in my first job in IT, so like some 10 odd years ago, was like first line help desk. And I picked up the phone and just answered calls. And I was working at an ISP. So that's when I learned like my CCNA, and I did a lot of stuff in my own time. I think long term, because I've had people ask me this a few times, and I think long term, I'm probably at about the same point in my career I would have been anyway. I tell myself that anyway, but certainly I ended up doing quite a lot of study in my own time to kind of round out my knowledge, which I probably would have just got from doing a degree.
Have you gone back and done some more study or courses?
Nothing sort of tertiary education wise. I considered going to do a master's when I finished my first degree, but I went and talked to some people in industry and most of them just said, just go get a job and learn on the job.
Yep.
So in my own time, I've done technical qualifications. Sometimes it's been purely in my own time, and sometimes I've had employers like pay for courses, etc. It's been a bit of both. I think now I'm getting sort of further along in my career. I think now employers are more willing to pay for me to do training, as opposed to right at the beginning when I was very junior. I think that very much the onus was on me to do it in my own time.
Yep.
And I think that's something that you have to do anyway, because you have to constantly reskill.
Of course.
I now look at the CCNA level stuff I did like 10 years ago and I'm like, God, most of that's irrelevant now. That's so scary.
But at least you've got 10 years under your belt now. I've been thinking as you've been talking, and it's something you both comment on, is certifications. One from you, that you don't have a computer science degree, but you've got 10 years worth of experience. And Ricky, from an employer's perspective, how Sarah might present, where are the certifications? Have you thought about getting certified, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I do have some certifications. Okay. I think there are, I mean, I have my CISP and my CISM. Yeah, I've got a few of them, security ones. But I do sort of see them. I know some, I think they're very polarizing. I think some people, particularly in security, absolutely hate certifications. And they say they've got no value. They don't mean anything. People can get them and they
I'm still challenge them to do
Yeah, and they're still not,
though.
Yeah, and they're still not very good. But I know that I do think they do have a certain value. I think I don't want to put too much value on them, but certainly it says, if nothing else, because I would also definitely think some of the modules I've learned about in some of these exams, I debate how useful they are in real life. But I think it does show that you've made a commitment to go and do that often in your own time. And I think that if nothing else, if it doesn't speak to your technical skill, it speaks to your dedication and the fact that you and your attitude towards work. I wouldn't say it's necessarily an indicator of great technical skill because...
No, but my view is also to hold you to a code of ethics or a standard, whoever that body is that's issuing that certificate. Ricky, how do employers see certifications? How critical are they?
Really depends on what they are.
Okay.
there are some that are viewed as a waste of time.
Right.
Others can be quite valuable. Really just depends on where you are in the industry and what... Because obviously... Whether you're a pen, again, it depends on the role in the industry, pen tester or architect or whatever it may be, you will have something that aligns to more your area of the industry.
But I imagine, say, like through the IRAP program, there'd be a lot of demand. That's where they really may well come to a recruiter.
I mean,
and they need to have those certain certifications.
Certain ones are very valuable. Like if you're an IRAP assessor, then you can do very well for yourself.
Great.
Others, again, just depends. Can be a waste of time. So,
I think it depends where you are in your career as well. So, like, take CISP. Like, in order to actually get certified, you can pass the exam, but you can't be certified and call yourself a CISP until you've done 5 years worth of work experience. So, I would say don't do it until you've got the work experience so it actually counts for something. I do know some, I've come across people who've done it early, but you can't, you can call yourself an associate, but you're not allowed to call yourself a CIS. But to me, I just wait and do the exam when you've got the 5 years work experience if you really want to do it. Because before that, what's the point? So I think it does depend where you are in your career as well. Depends on the certification and what you're doing.
Yeah, I think if you've worked in the industry 10 years, maybe or more, I think there might be an expectation to have some certs. Otherwise, he could well have sat on an IT help desk for 10 years and
I think,
not learnt anything.
I find it just depends on your role. Because for me, companies will always value experience over certifications.
Yeah.
But then there's the odd certification that can help you get to another level. Or, again, IRAP is a very worthwhile one, because again there's not many IRAP assessors out there.
I've heard that too. It's kind of, I looked at the criteria and thought, wow.
Speaking of that, actually, so what, at our next meetup in October, we have one of, I think, only, I can't remember the number, but it's like maybe 30 or 40 IRAP assessors in Victoria speaking. So when you're talking, there's only that many people that have that accreditation, it's a
bit like the SCET consultants as well, and they're not even issuing out SCET consultancy training anymore, so they've got it tied up in a bag. Okay, look, sorry to dive into the certifications there.
It's always very topical.
So look, when's your next meetup? You mentioned October in Melbourne.
First Wednesday of October.
Where can they find out more information?
Meetup.com.
Okay.
Search AllSec.
AllSec.
Yeah, we've also got a Twitter account that links to all of those things, which might be easier to remember. It's at AllSecMail.
Okay.
That's it.
Mail, M-A-I-L?
Oh, you're just laughing at my accent.
Yeah, sorry.
It's AllSecMail. You can spell it out if you want. Got like, I'm accent conscious now.
No, we have an international audience, so yeah, none of them will understand you. From
oh, that's fine then. That's totally fine then.
Okay, well, look, we've been joined by Ricky Burke from CyberSec People and Sarah Young of AllSec Meetups. Thank you very much for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Good on you.